Welcome. Welcome to the porch on Firefall Talk Radio. I'm Richard Grund. This is where we get back to basics, the red letter basics, by studying the Word of God, focusing on the Book of Acts Church, seeing how they serve the Lord to follow their example. By taking a deeper look into their service to the kingdom of God, we find the keys to doing things the Lord's way, finding the church the Lord intended and not the one that man created, regaining the world-shaking influence that the early church had. Because the church age is not over, our job is not done. What happened in the upper room is as much for today as it was on the day of Pentecost. If you know that there's more to your spiritual walk with Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus, the Messiah, and you want more, then join us on this journey as we get back to basics. If you have any questions, go to firefalltalkradio.com. Use the contact button. We'll get back to you as soon as we can. If you'd like to support what we do at the bottom of the main page at firefalltalkradio.com, there are ways to do so. We appreciate your support and encouragement. Welcome to all of our listeners from the various streaming platforms where I hope you are subscribing so that you know when a new session of The Porch goes up. Thank you. Thank you for being a part of The Porch community. If you need prayer, you want to pray for others, just contact us. Let us know. We'll plug you in. Prayer email went out today. If you didn't get it and you're on the list, let me know. For some reason, not everybody's getting the emails. Make sure you subscribe, as I said, where you listen. Also on social media, Facebook, Instagram, and X, formerly Twitter. Newsletter went out this past weekend. Make sure that you got it. If you'd like the scriptures for the week, the list of all the scriptures that get read or quoted tonight, let us know. We'll include you when the scriptures go out on every Wednesday. Aerial support, we appreciate you. We ask that you stay plugged in and diligent. Today is the first day of counting the Omer as we head towards the 49 days of Shavuot to Pentecost. So we'll be counting them down. If you follow me on Facebook or Instagram, I will be posting each day what day we're at, what the day means, and you'll be able to keep track. We start out with praise reports and prayer requests. Well, first of all, I praise Him for my salvation. Without that, I have nothing. I am nothing. I praise Him for His love, His grace, His mercy. I praise Him for my home, my wife of almost 44 years and 2 days. This time, 44 years ago, I think we were probably fighting. I'm not sure, but that's where we are. Praise the Lord for my family, my sons, daughter-in-laws, grandson, furry kids, everything we have. All good things come from Him, and they're all good. Praise Him for His protection over us, for the ministry, His ministry that He allows me to work for Him, with Him, for you. Praise Him for you, each and every one of you, those that I've gotten to know and those that I will meet someday face to face. I look forward to that. For the dreams and the visions and everything He's been showing me, sometimes keeping me up at night, but that's okay. Praise Him for His healing virtues. They're always there. Take advantage of them. I just praise Him that I can praise Him. The rocks will not out-praise Him, not when I'm around. I thank Him and praise Him for being a renewed spirit man, being born again, living in a time when the signs of the times are telling me the King is coming. The King is coming. All creation groans for the return of the King. So I praise Him for the coming kingdom and the new Jerusalem, but that means I must pray. I must pray for Israel and the peace of Jerusalem. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May they prosper who love you. Peace be within your walls, prosperity within your palaces. For the sake of my brethren and companions, I will now say, peace be within you. Psalm 122, verses 6 through 8. Therefore, I pray for the remaining 130 Israeli hostages, a quarter of those that are believed to be dead, that remain in Gaza 6 months after the attack. I pray for the people of Gaza suffering under the dictatorial actions and control of Hamas. They've been crying out for help from the world. The world just doesn't seem to care. I pray for the exposure of all the evil and the sin, not just there, but in our country as well. Let every hidden thing be revealed. Pray for the fatherless and the widows, the innocents, the martyrs, the victims of injustice, both in and out of the womb, human and animal. Part of the reason I want them returned so badly is to end all of that. Pray for divine wholeness, health, and healing in me and my wife, my family, and each and every one of you as we pray to get back to our divine design. If you're sick, if you're struggling in any area of your life, in your heart, your mind, your body, your soul, your spirit, I pray for you right now that in the name of Yeshua, in the name of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, that you be made whole, that you be healed, that every area that you need him to touch you, the Spirit envelops you right now in Yeshua's name. Pray for protection against the enemy, both natural and supernatural, for inspiration to be able to rise up, answer the call to action, to do what needs to be done, for the blessings to come in so that we can be blessings to others and to help one another and to help those that need kingdom help. Our combined prayers put the entire demonic armies to flight, being proactive, pushing back, taking back the things that they have stolen as we become unified and aggressive in our effort to further the kingdom of God, having the confidence, the purpose, and the power given to us through the Holy Spirit. So, Father, we come to you now, crying out, Abba, Father, Papa, God, Daddy. We thank you, we need you, we praise you and worship you. We ask that you touch us, that your Spirit fill us, that you overshadow us wherever we are, wherever we're listening, envelop us in your glory. Let your kingdom come, let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And that means that as King of Kings and Lord of Lords and the Lord and Savior of our life, Yeshua, it's all about you. You're alive. Oh, you are alive. Sitting at the right hand of the Father, and we sit with you in the heavenly places. What an awesome privilege that is. You sent back your Holy Spirit to guide us, to teach us, to walk with us, and to empower us. Thank you for that. Thank you for Holy Spirit. Have your way tonight. Do whatever you want to do with me, with everyone that's listening, with the word. Cover us and protect the technology. Keep the enemy bound and defeated. Let this word go forth. Let the King be glorified and his will be done. And I pray all these things in Yeshua's name. Amen.
These lessons are proprietary information, except where noted the information comes from outside sources. The combination of that information, the manner presented, is exclusive, cannot be repeated or used without permission. The date of this broadcast serves as the registered date of the following information.
All right, I'm going to apologize ahead of time. I'm going to be moving around a lot. Tonight was my first outpatient therapy. It's been a month since I had the hip surgery. And the soreness is starting to kick in as I sit here. So I will be shifting and moving around a lot. We'll get back to the end of Religion Revisited next week. The Lord showed me something during the night, spoke to me, showed me the message he wanted for tonight. So that's what we're going to do. His will be done. That's what it's called, and I'm doing his will. Smith Wigglesworth says, Live in the Acts of the Apostles, and every day you will see some miracle worked by the power of the living God. You see, miracles, signs, and wonders are His will, Hebrews 2:4. God also bearing witness both with signs and wonders, with various miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit, according to His own will. According to His own will are signs and wonders in accordance with the Word to glorify Him, to propel the name of the only name above all names, Yeshua, Jesus, out into the world. See, He told us in the Lord's Prayer in Matthew 6:10, Your kingdom come, Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And we pray that, but do we really mean it? Because outside of God's will, no person will be permitted into His presence. Matthew 7:21, the Lord says, Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Later on in Matthew 12:50, He says, For whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and my sister and my mother. They're family. We are family. That's what He's saying. He didn't sing that, but maybe He did. I don't know. They didn't record it. But on earth, as it is in heaven, that means there's no questioning. There's no doubting of what He desires, because we know that anything He desires is righteous, it's true, and it's the best possible choice for us. See, as He was talking to me last night about this message, some of it was geared towards me, some of it was geared towards others. But the fact is, He shows us His will, and we don't always do it. We make excuses for it. We come up with other, well, I think He really means this. No, you don't think that. You're just saying that so that you can do what you want. The Pocket Dictionary of Theological Terms says, The will of God is God's divine purpose for creation as a whole, and for human beings in particular. Many theologians distinguish between God's free will and God's necessary will. God's will is free in that as creator, God acts towards creation out of freedom rather than compulsion. But God's will is necessary in that God always acts in a manner constant with the divine nature or character of God. Theologians likewise sometimes differentiate between God's hidden will, meaning what God alone knows He will do, and God's revealed will, which He discloses to humans about His will or purposes. His will is in His Word. His Holy Spirit shows us what His will is, and His will always line up with His Word. 1 Chronicles 29, starting verse 11. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness, the power, and the glory, the victory. Excuse me. I'm not sure what happened there. Let's try that again without choking. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness, the power, and the glory, the victory, and the majesty. For all that is in heaven and in earth is yours. Yours is the kingdom, O Lord, and you are exalted as head over all. Both riches and honors come from you, and you reign over all. In your hand is power and might. In your hand it is to make great and to give strength to all. Now, therefore, O God, we thank you and praise your glorious name. The will of God, Holman's Bible Dictionary says, is God's plan and purpose for its creation, and for each individual. If you're His child, if you belong to Him, He has a plan for you. He has a purpose, and that's His will. But let me say something here that's going to be a little controversial. I see these feel-good preachers, oh, we're all children of God. No, we're not. We're all His creation. but we're only his child when we submit to him and become his child through Yeshua. Not everybody who is alive belongs to him. If that was the case, he wouldn't have drowned a whole planet except for 8 people. But the biblical perspective on the universe is that it is created by him, sustained by him, and providentially governed by God. Psalm 135, verse 6, whatever pleases the Lord, he does, in heaven and in earth, in the seas and in all the deep places. David says in Psalm 40, verse 8, I delight to do your will, O my God, and your law is within my heart. I delight to do your will, O my God. God's will is always good. It's always acceptable. And it is always perfect. That's why I delight to do your will. It's unlike anything the world understands. Sometimes we don't understand it. Romans 12:2, do not be conformed to this world, but what? Be transformed, have a metamorphosis by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. His will be done. Unfortunately, the natural mind cannot accept the perfect will of God. Can't understand it. Doesn't receive it. Only a redeemed, born-again mind can. Romans 8:7, the carnal mind is enmity, hatred against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. We should not expect a fallen world or unsaved people to understand the will of God. We should not expect them to act in accordance with the will of God. Therefore, we shouldn't be shocked when they act the way they do. Titus 1:15, to the pure, all things are pure. But to those who are defiled and unbelieving, nothing is pure. But even their mind and conscience are defiled. Boy, do we see that today. Defiled, unbelieving, impure. And sometimes I look at this world, I say, Lord, I just don't understand. And even though I know this word, and even though I can say what I say, there are times I just don't understand. And that's right, we don't. We cannot understand an infinite God with a finite mind, so don't try. And unless your natural mind has submitted to the supernatural mind of Messiah, of claiming the mind of Messiah, casting down all vain imagination that exalts itself above the knowledge of God, you understand nothing. And what's amazing is the older I get in life and the longer I walk with the Lord, the more I realize what I don't understand. You would think that, oh, I'm smarter, I know more. No, I'm like Paul. I know one thing and one thing only, Yeshua HaMashiach and him crucified. Everything else, I'm still learning. I know about the cross. I know about the blood. I know about the empty tomb. I know about the upper room. Everything else, I'm a work in progress. Larry and I were talking about that today because there's been a shift in the supernatural realm. There's been a shift in spiritual warfare. Maybe at some point I'll talk about it. Maybe not. Because for some of you, this could scare you or it could take you into places that you're not ready to understand. But I can tell you this, and I've been at this for a while, and I've been on the front line the entire time. And some of you know me, and you know what I do and where I go and who I've confronted and what I've done. I've never seen anything like this. The ferocity of the fight right now and the arrogance and insolence of the enemy is unlike anything I could have imagined. I kind of knew we were going to get here eventually. I just didn't think it would happen so soon. Not that I'm afraid, mind you. Don't ever think that I'm afraid. But I'm a little more concerned and cautious than I've ever been before. So what do we do? Colossians 3:2 tells us to set your minds on things above, not on things on the earth. Set your mind on Him. Set your mind on the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Set your mind on the throne room. Set your mind on eternity. Set your mind on the promises. Set your mind on the Word. Philippians 4:8, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of a good report, if there's any virtue, and if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. What are you putting into your mind? I have to guard my mind. And remember, I probably stay in the Word longer and stay in the prayer longer than most. But the world creeps in. Society creeps in. Social media creeps in. The cares of this world creep in. And the next thing you know, my mind is not on things above. It's not heavenly. It's terrestrial. It's on the things of this earth. And then you get weighed down, and your shoulders hunch forward, and your head and eyes go down. And no, you got to praise your way out of it. You got to shake it off. Kind of like when a dog gets water on it, does that little shake. You got to shake it off. The only way to find God's will, listen to me, especially some of you that are newer in this walk, the only way for you to find God's will is to set your mind on Him. To set your mind on the heavenly and not the earthly. Because His ways, His desires, are tied to His will. And His will is found where? That's right, in His Word. Hebrews 4:12. For the Word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit, and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And to some of you, the Lord would say, your thoughts and your intents are not mine. For the Word of God speaks. It is alive, and it's full of power, dunamis, making it active, operative, energizing, and effective. It's sharper than any two-edged sword, penetrating to the dividing line of the breath of life, which is the soul, and the immortal spirit, and of joints and marrow, the deepest parts of our nature, exposing and sifting and analyzing and judging the very thoughts and purposes of the heart. That's where the trouble starts. We put His name on things that He never had anything to do with. If it doesn't glorify Him, and if it doesn't further the kingdom, if it doesn't get people saved, healed, and delivered, if it doesn't point to Yeshua, if it isn't about the Great Commission, it's a waste of time. God's Word, His will. Life-giving communication. You should have a Bible that you can read and understand. If you don't have one, you can't afford one, you let me know. I've got a couple up on a shelf. I'll send you one. Or we'll ship you one from Amazon. But the point is, you got to get in that Word every day. Devotions are great. You know, all these things you can get online and the daily devotions, and they're good to a point, but they're not the Word. You got to open it up, got to read it. That Word powerful living. It's energesis, E-N-E-R-G-E-S, for the Greek. It's where we get the word energy from. So God's word has energy. It's sharp. It's penetrating. It acts as a critic of our thought life and the motivations of the human heart. So many times he has spoken to me since I got saved and called me out on things, showing me that what I had put his name on really had nothing to do with him. It was really all about me. The Word of God will reveal that to you. The Spirit of the living God is so unique in its ability to not only uncover the merits of our actions, but to reveal the hidden motivations. And this is where we get outside his will. Why are you doing what you do? Well, I feel like this is the best thing for me, and this is the best thing for my family, or this is the best thing for me to fulfill what God wants in my life. And all you told me what you felt like what was best for you, but what was best for him? Whenever we make a mistake and get outside his will, it's because we filled in the blanks. Because we thought, and boy, is that a mistake. We thought we understood what he meant. And, well, you know what? I think this is what he means. I'll just do this instead of waiting for him to confirm what he means. All things are naked and open to him. And sooner or later, we're going to give an account for that. Hebrews 4:13. There's no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him, capital H, to whom we must give account. Stop and ask him sometime, Lord, is this you? Is this what you want me to do? Because we're going to give an account of whether we did it his way or we did it our way. Whose will is being done in your life? Whose will are we following? Adam and Eve got in trouble because they didn't follow God's will. They followed their own. Abraham got in trouble. David got in trouble. Even Elijah, Larry and I discovered some things in Elijah and Mount Carmel and the confrontation that might indicate that Elijah was acting under his own will, his own ego. Over and over we see in Scripture the people of God, the servants of God, get in trouble when they act in accordance with their own desires. So live by this. Make a little sign for yourself. I had one, but it kind of fell apart. If it's God's will, I will. Just keep telling yourself, if it's God's will, I will. You will what? I will do that. I will do his will, no matter what it is. And the reality is, let me give you some leeway here. You won't always get it right. No, more often than not, you're going to get it wrong. You're going to be off the mark. But if you try with a sincere heart to do it right and you mess up, all you got to do is say, I'm sorry, Spirit, get me back on track. Show me. It's kind of what he did last night when he talked to me. Did it again today. Are you listening? Are you hearing? His will, his way, his word. Things to know about God's word, according to Hebrews 4, it's quick, it's alive, it's full of vigor, it's strong, it's powerful, it's active, it's effectual, that powerful energizes, sharper. Oh boy, is it sharp. It'll cut you. I know I've said this before, and I have swords. Two-edged swords are very dangerous. They cut in any direction you swing it. And they can cut you very easily, too. And if piercing things, they cut on the way in and they cut on the way out. They cut up, they cut down, they cut sideways, they cut at angles. and it will pierce and divide soul and spirit, thoughts and intents. It'll reveal the truth. It'll discern what you're thinking and what's in your heart. And I was thinking about some mistakes I made with some people that I presumed that the thoughts and intents of their heart were in alignment with God's will and God's word, maybe because I wanted to, maybe because I didn't want to think ill of them. I don't know. I've been let down by people that I put my trust in, mostly because I didn't go to the Lord and ask for clarification. Is this of you? Is this decision yours? And I think we want to be mature. We want to think, well, you know what? I'm mature enough. I can act now. I think the longer I'm at this, the less I want to do that. But see, he understands. Whatever you're going through right now in regards to what I'm talking about, he understands. We have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Yeshua, the Son of God. Let us hold fast our confession, for we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin, which means he was tempted, but he didn't succumb to the temptation. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. If you mess up, just say I'm sorry and go to him. He understands. But see, if we look at his life, we see that he understood and he submitted to the Father's will, because he knew that disobedience against the will of God is sin. 1 Peter 4:5, they will give an account to him who is ready to judge the living and the dead. He will do an audit of our books. Were we conscientious about obeying him, or did we keep two sets of books? You know, crooked people, crooked business people, they keep two sets of books. One book to fool the auditor, and one book with the real number that tells the truth. I knew people that did that. They never got caught, but they had two sets of books. Whatever the reasoning is, it's crooked. And even more so in the spirit realm, you're not fooling him. He's keeping the book. He's got a recording of everything. 1 John 2:28, now little children, abide in him, that when he appears, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. I will not be ashamed. I've made mistakes. I've done things that grieve me, but I put it under the blood, and they won't be there to be recited back to me because they've been blotted out. If you trip and fall, if you do something that you know is wrong, or you get outside his will, repent. Which means you go in a different direction than you are going now. You don't just say you're sorry, you make a change in accordance with the conviction. Don't be ashamed when you stand before him. Doing the Father's will sustained Yeshua for life. In John 4:34, when the disciples came back and he was talking to the Samaritan woman and, you know, said something about having food and how did he get food, he says that my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. His nourishment, spiritual and physical, was to do the will and to please the Father, to accomplish and to finish his work. That's my heart's cry. That's what I pray every day when I send out a newsletter or prayer request or whatever for the funds. It's not about money. It's about finishing the job. It's about the mission. Exposing the enemy, setting the captives free, living out Luke 4:18, redeeming the land, doing all the things that I've been called to do, breaking the prison doors open, finishing the job to please him. When he sat down there waiting for the Samaritan woman in the heat of the day, you know, they went to get their food for him and themselves, and she comes along, and we talked about it last week, but because he waited for her, I mean, let's get real. Who sits down in the sun? He did, because he knew the will of the Father was to speak to that Samaritan woman. Because we see later on, verses 39 through 42, she does what? She goes to the city and tells them about the Messiah, and they come and meet him, and they believe. And then he stayed with them for a few days, because he did the will of the Father. That's what it's all about. That's what sustains our spiritual life, is to do God's will and to accomplish what we're here for. Well, I don't know, Richard. I don't know what I'm supposed to do. Well, then you know what? Maybe you need to spend a little more time in prayer. Maybe you need to get confirmation in the Word. Maybe you need to get confirmation from two or three witnesses that don't know what you're looking for confirmation for. Instead of manipulating people, say, hey, I would like you to pray about XYZ. He'll send people to confirm it. The disciples that day were about worldly food. He was about spiritual food. He was about saving this woman, redeeming her, which was what? The will of the Father. John 5:30, I can of myself, Yeshua says, do nothing. As I hear, I judge. And my judgment is righteous, because I do not seek my own will, but the will of the Father who sent me. John 6:38, for I have come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. And we see from his life something that we don't like, that sometimes the will of God leads to suffering. Sometimes he sets us on a road that is very uncomfortable, and we wouldn't have willingly gone. That's that scripture in Romans 8:28, which I used in the newsletters to start out. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. All things work together for good. Not just the good things, not just the things you like, not just the things you want, but all things, the uncomfortable things, the hurtful things, the messy things. Takes time to understand that, to learn that. What are you going through right now that you're fighting, kicking against the goads, as it would say? And God's trying to show you something. He's trying to take you somewhere. There's something hidden that maybe he's trying to reveal. Part of the story I told in the newsletter is, as some of you know, the first week after the hip surgery, my leg swelled up, which caused the fear of that there might be a blood clot. And then that clot could lead to an embolism in my lungs and could be fatal. So the orthopedic surgeon on a Friday evening, you know, wanted a scan of an ultrasound of the veins in my leg. And it was too late to go to an outpatient one, and I would have had to go on the next day. And I felt compelled of the Lord to go to the local ER, knowing full well that was going to create a bill that I wouldn't be able to pay. But I followed his will, and I went. And going to an ER at this particular hospital on a Friday night, it means you're going to be sitting and waiting for a while. But you know what? By listening to his will and doing it, I walked in there. Deb dropped me off about 6:15, and it was empty. There was nobody waiting. They took me right in. it got to the point, it was comical, that all the people in the various tests that had to be done were jockeying for position. No, I've got them next. I have to do them first. And if I got it. So it was, you know, bing, bang, boom. We got the blood test. We got the x-rays. We got the ultrasound. We got the CT scan of the lungs. And wouldn't you know it, that maybe that's what it was all about. Because while they were doing that, looking for an embolism, which they didn't find, thank God, they saw something else about my heart that required attention. And wouldn't you know that I already had an appointment with my cardiologist for May 2nd so that he could deal with what we saw and probably order more tests. All things work together for good. So, James 1, verses 2 through 4 says, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing." God's will that night was for me to go to that ER. So I'm not going to worry about the bill, which has come in, which on top of the copays of the surgery, I'm just going to have to trust him. 1 Peter 3:17, "For it is better, if it is the will of God, to suffer for doing good than for doing evil." And we just celebrated Passover, the real Passover. And guess what? Doing God's will for Yeshua involves suffering. Isaiah 53:10, "Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He has put him to grief. When you make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand." Yeshua suffered to do what he did for us. We see that in the garden, Matthew 26, verses 39 and 42. He fell on his face and prayed, "Oh, my Father, oh, Abba, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will." He knew in his human form that he could feel and the pain and the emotion. Of course, we know he began to sweat and the stress of it. He perspired blood. A second time he says, "Oh, my Father, oh, Abba, if this cup cannot pass away from me unless I drink it, your will be done." He knew what he was about to endure. The pain, the shedding of the blood, the cross, the dying. But he trusted his Father. He trusted in his Father's will. And that's where we mess up. We don't trust. We want to manipulate. We want to add to it. We don't want to wait. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Stop trying to figure out what he's doing. Stop trying to understand. Lean on, trust in, and be confident in the Lord with all your heart and mind. Do not rely on your own insight or understanding. In all your ways, know, recognize, and acknowledge him, and he will direct and make straight and plain your path. Stop filling in the blanks. If there are blanks, wait for him to fill them in. Trust in God's providence means we stop diminishing the importance of his plans. "Oh, I'm no one. This can't be that important." If he's asking you to do it, it's important to him. And truthfully, many people pray, but they don't pray to find God's will. but they pray to get his approval of their own. I know that's harsh, but you and I both know it's the truth. If we're going to follow his example, and that's what I'm pounding on here, then we need to strive to know and do the will of God. Psalm 143, verse 10, teach me to do your will, for you are my God. Your spirit is good. Lead me in the land of uprightness. Colossians 1:9. For this reason, we also know since the day we heard it, we do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. His will be done on earth as it is in heaven. His will be done in your life on earth as it is in heaven. What happened to those in heaven that defied his will? They got kicked out. They fell. They were separated eternally from him. They caused a big mess. That mess affected others. That mess affected an entire planet. All because an entire planet, except for 8 people, were outside his will. Scary stuff. Ephesians 5, and this is scripture we've read a lot over the last couple of weeks, but I want to look at it a little differently. Ephesians 5, verses 14 through 17. Therefore, he says, awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Messiah shall shine. Make the day dawn upon you and give you light. Look carefully how you walk. Live purposefully and worthily and accurately, not as the unwise and the witless, but as wise, sensible, intelligent people. Making the very most of the time, buying up each opportunity because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be vague and thoughtless and foolish, but understanding and firmly grasping what the will of the Lord is. What is the will of the Lord? That all men be saved. Wake, O sleeper, wake up. It's a call. It's an alarm. For the church, the people, God's people, to turn from the sinful darkness of this world and compromise with that darkness and live in the full light of Messiah. There can be no compromise with this world. There can be no compromise with the fallen world system. And oh boy, there can be no compromise with the enemy. You can't do his will if you can't see clearly. If your eyes are blurred by the world, if your eyes are set on the wrong thing, because in a fallen world, we better look carefully to where we walk and to who we walk with. Watching, avoid the dangers and traps of the enemies, living by the gospel, living in his light in accordance with his will, that our conduct is becoming of him, making every moment count. Why? For those that are lost in sin. It's his will that everyone be saved. Matthew 11:27, all things have been delivered to me by my Father, Yeshua says, and no one knows the Son except the Father, nor does anyone know the Father except the Son and the one to whom the Son wills to reveal him. No one comes to the Father except through him. Well, how can they do that unless you show them? This is a very serious message. It was very serious last night and many times during the day. It's time to get right. time to get in tune. It's time to get lined up with his will. 1 Timothy 2, 1 through 6, I urge you, first of all, to pray for all people. What are you praying for? For them to get saved, healed, and delivered. Ask God to help them. Intercede on their behalf and give thanks for them. Pray this way for kings and all who are in authority so that we can live peaceful and quiet lives marked by godliness and dignity. Yes, we pray to, and I'm filling this in, this isn't in the scripture. Yes, we pray against certain things, but you know what? There are people that they need to get saved or get out and for God to be the one that does it. Because this is good and pleases God, our Savior, who wants everyone to be saved and to understand the truth. For there is only one God and one mediator who can reconcile God and humanity, the man, Messiah, Yeshua. He gave his life to purchase freedom for everyone. This is the message that God gave to the world at just the right time. We're counting the Omer, heading towards Shavuot, the Pentecost, the harvest, the grain. We're in a time, this is a very special Passover, and this is a very special time heading towards Pentecost. It came during a leap year. One of the first time in many years where the church's celebration of the resurrection, I didn't say the E word, but the church's celebration of the resurrection and Passover did not line up, did not overlap. They're not even close to one another. They're a good month apart. And in that, I saw him separating the two and making a distinction. Now, we are in a time of expectancy. In a time of something being birthed in both kingdoms. Don't ever forget, two kingdoms exist, one parallel to the other, one the mirror image of the other. So whatever's being birthed in the kingdom of God, the enemy is birthing the opposite. And Paul's prayer focused on the church, the living organism of the church, and its mission, which was what? The Great Commission. But false teachers had brought in a different message. They'd taken their eyes off of that. They'd created an interaction and a compromise with society, and all that did was trip them up and hampered the mission of the church, drawing them away from salvation to other things, to selfishness, to self-focusing on themselves. One God. One mission, reconciliation. One mediator who was the blood sacrifice, which was what? The will of God, his will being done. 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. Do you have a loved one right now that you know is not saved and that nothing you've said has gotten through to them? Then pray for him to send somebody. Pray for him to send an angel. Pray for him to visit them in dreams and visions. But he desires that they come to repentance. Father, I stop right now on behalf of our loved ones, sons and daughters, husbands, wives, aunts and uncles, close friends, blood relatives, those we care about, those that we love, who have turned their back on you, who have been hurt by religion and seen the hypocrisy of the church. We're asking you that in the power of the Holy Spirit and in wisdom and majesty and might, shine your glory upon them, open their eyes, take the scales off their eyes, visit them in dreams and vision, send an angel to speak to them, touch them and show them in a way that it is you and it is the truth that they seek. God has delayed judgment, and he has allowed things to happen. Even the evil schemes of the enemy, which we see every day. Why? Because he desires that all would be saved. So we sit and look. We look at what's going on in politics, and we look at what's going on in entertainment. We look at what's going on in society and the news. And we just shake our head and say, Lord, I don't understand. Lean not on your own understanding. He does. He knows. Trust him. He understands. Lord, you see my situation. You see my bank account. You see my home life, my married life, my family life, my workplace. Do you see what's going on? Don't you understand? Of course he does. He knows the end from the beginning. And when he acts on your behalf, he's acting on past, present, and future simultaneously. We see it over and over in the Bible. Trust him with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him. Praise him, and he will direct your path. Are we going to suffer? Yeah, we are. But rejoice to the extent that you partake of Messiah's sufferings. For when his glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy. For if you are reproached for the name of Messiah, blessed are you. For the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. On their part he is blasphemed, but on your part he is glorified. Be glorified. But may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Messiah Yeshua, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you, 1 Peter 4:13 and 14, 1 Peter 5:10. You see, his will being done is always righteous. And as I said, sometimes it will involve judgment. He will judge. He will come and judge the living and the dead. He will come with his mighty angels in flaming fire and bring judgment upon those who don't know God and refuse to obey the good news of our Lord Jesus, the Messiah. They will be punished with eternal destruction, forever separated from the Lord by their choice and from his glorious power. And when he comes on that day, he will receive glory from his people, his holy people. Praise from all who believe, and that includes you and me, for you believed what you were told about him. 1 Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians 1, 7 through 10. A.W. Tozer says, God's compassion flows out of his goodness, and goodness without justice is not goodness. God spares us because he is good, but he could not be good if he were not just. The vague and tenuous hope that God is too kind to punish the ungodly has become a deadly opiate for the consciences of millions. It hushes their fears and allows them to practice all pleasant forms of iniquity, while death draws every day nearer and the command to repent goes unregarded. As responsible moral beings, we dare not so trifle with our eternal future. Redemptive theology teaches that mercy does not become effective towards man until justice has done his work. Finally, his will being done is supernatural. The Bible makes no clear distinction between the natural and the supernatural. From Genesis to Revelation, it is naturally supernatural. That's supposed to be our life. Even Albert Einstein said there are only two ways to live your life. One is though nothing is a miracle, and the other is though everything is a miracle. I don't just believe in miracles. I depend on them because I know it's his will. C.S. Lewis says, a naturalistic Christianity leaves out all that is specifically Christian. His will being done involves the miraculous. And the work of grace and salvation is so miraculous that it requires a living power that is above and beyond the natural. His will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Father, Your will be done right now. My life, my brothers and sisters' life, and everybody's life who's listening. Shine your glory down upon them, heart, mind, body, soul, and spirit. Reveal to them your will for them in any area of your life that they're one degree off and will get lost if they keep going in that direction. Speak into their brokenness. Speak into their emptiness. Shine a light into their darkness. Set a light at their feet and give them feet and give them a path that they can walk and trust you and follow you. We declare and decree the enemy null and void, and all that Hasatan and the fallen would try to do ineffective. Broken curses, broken hexes, incantations, everything the enemy has set, I call forth out of you, away from you, and burn them up in the fire of the Holy Spirit so that you can be all that he desires you to be. That in your life, his will be done. And I pray all these things in Yeshua's name. Amen. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May Adonai make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May Adonai Yeshua HaMashiach, the Lord Almighty, lift up his countenance upon you, brothers and sisters, and give you peace. Give you shalom. I'm Richard Grund. This has been The Porch on Firefall Talk Radio.